You're listening to the official BNI Heartland podcast with your host, Brandon Suba.
Hello and welcome to the BNI Heartland podcast. My name is Brandon Suba, Regional Growth and Education Director for BNI Heartland. And with me today, I have a phenomenal guest. This is Mike Macedonio. He is Executive Director of the BNI San Francisco Bay for 22 years now. I looked that up and was very impressed with that. He is the co-founder and incentive. He has written or co-authored the following books: World's Best Known Marketing Secrets, Truth or Delusion, which if you're an education coordinator, you probably know that one really well, and Mastering the World of Sales. And then something kind of personal with him, he has competed twice in the Leadville Trail 100-mile mountain bike race in Colorado. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Brandon. Thank you. How are you?
It's getting nice out. Kids are getting out of school. And so excited for the summer and continuing to help BNI members rocking and rolling.
Awesome.
So I really want you guys to focus on Mike's introduction, though, especially his executive director experience for 22 years in BNI. We're going to talk about a different topic. We're not necessarily going to drive it towards BNI, but realize Mike is the epitome of success in BNI. But he also is fantastic in the sales marketing world. And he did a YouTube video on why people, I think, hate sales, right? They love their business, but they hate sales. And I thought it would be a great opportunity to have him on here so we can have a little different perspective. Because I'm sorry, but if you're a BNI member, you have a product or service, you have a business, you deal with sales. No matter what, you deal with sales, be it yourself, your product, whatever it is. So we're going to kind of break into a little bit on why people feel this way and give you a little bit of a plan that might help you have more success. So, Mike, let's start with, why do people feel this way towards sales in the business world?
Well, I think most of us, when we come to the table as a business owner, we have a passion for our trade. If we're a coach, if we're an attorney or a CPA, we have a passion for that trade. We're well invested in it, in developing the knowledge and the skills. And then we open up our own business and realize there's more to it than just the trade. and it may be the part that we didn't truly invest in. And that is, well, how do I market it? And how do I do the sales process? So sometimes it's a matter of being a little bit of an unknown. And so that makes it uncomfortable. One of the things I like when I talk with business owners about maybe sales challenges or revenue challenges, I'd like to take the most simplistic look at it. And for me, the most simplistic look is basically three main components of most businesses. I know there's a lot of moving parts, but there's basically three. And that is, you know, how is the business being marketed? Okay, how are we getting out to the public, the target audience, okay, to come to you? The second part would be the sale. Okay, how do we take that target audience that comes to us and convert them? And the third, of course, is our deliverable, the product or service that we're going to solve their problem with. And all too often, I'm watching people that are struggling with that revenue, and the first place they go is, well, I need to change my offer. I need to change my package. I need to change, I got to get something new. I'm going to change something. And the first question I would do to diagnose that that's the problem in your business, first question you want to ask is, how many people, currently clients, past clients, told you your product or service is rubbish? And in all cases, they're like, no, that's it. Well, let's not focus on that. Let's back up. Okay. Is it that people are coming to you, but they're not converting? Okay. Well, then we might have a sales conversation, or it could be the beginning. Well, no, not enough are coming to me. And I say that because I think it's very important to be able to identify what the biggest problem is. Not that our product can't be tweaked, not that our sales can't be tweaked, not that our market, but what's the biggest problem? And sometimes I find that the biggest problem, it really isn't their sales conversion. They're simply not getting in front of enough people. And the reaction that can happen is, if you're not getting in front of enough people, you put unreasonable pressure on yourself that I need to make this sale because I need to make the sale. And you start overlooking that they may not be qualified. Mm-hmm. They may not. This may not be the biggest issue that they need to have solved right now. And all of the things that make the difference between people that say yes and people that say no. Would you say that some of your experience has been along the same lines, Brandon?
Absolutely. You know, kind of going back to the deliverable side, and I'm sure you've heard this, well, my price is too high. And I think the worst thing somebody can do is come back on their price. My early sales experiences was in countertops, and I never knew how cutthroat that business really was. But you can find a granite countertop now literally like on every street corner. I've actually seen the guys holding the sign saying, come and get a countertop today. But it was never about price. And I think going through that ladder, like you said, the marketing, the sales, and the deliverable, if you're worried about your price, you're not in front of the clients that can afford your services or that are in the market for your services, so they value it enough to pay the price that you're expecting. So when you were explaining that, the first thing that really popped into my mind is how many people cry and complain that the person that sells it a little cheaper is beating them. And like you said, your service, your product, it's not rubbish, as you said. I'm experiencing a lot with digital marketing lately. And what I see with the people I work with is they don't see the, you can bring me this many leads. They see me, you're going to charge me this much to do a Facebook post. That's not what it is at all. And so I think the marketing is key to be in front of the people you need to be. And then kind of going back to the why people hate sales, you actually enjoy sales when you're in front of the people that need your product or service. They ask you the questions you want to answer. They go in depth in the conversations that you are so knowledgeable about. And if you're just picking and choosing and hoping for the best, you get who you get. And when they don't ask you those questions, sometimes you don't even get to give your sales pitch because it's not a guiding conversation. It's the, I got to make this sale, so I'm going to do anything I can to do it.
Well, that is a great point about the price. And it's exactly right. I want it so bad, I'm willing to give it away at this point. And
yes.
In our world, Brandon, we do relationship marketing. This is a relationship marketing industry. And people in those industries are typically not low-cost providers. Okay. If your business is low-cost providers, it's probably more of the traditional advertising that's going to attract low-cost buyers. So using a strategy of I'm going to beat them on price, in many business, unless you're a low-cost provider, is not a good strategy. It typically means that we haven't truly uncovered the problem that needs to be solved.
Right, exactly. And that goes into the marketing and the sales side.
And I'll ask the audience to think about this and write this down. When you're entering into a sales conversation, I basically have two questions I need to ask, first and second. The first question is this still a good time? Okay, we've set up a time to talk about what's going on in your life, but is this a good time? Be respectful, because if there's stuff going on, okay, you're not going to have a great conversation and you could reschedule. The second question I would suggest is, what's the most important thing you'd like to get out of our time together? And if their answer is how much, you know they're a price shopper.
Yep.
Okay, that may be a disqualifier right there. Okay, what's the most important thing? And I'll tell you a really quick story about a gentleman that came to me that I invited to come in and clean my carpets. I've already done business with this guy. He's done my tile cleaning. I'm bringing him to bring the carpets. And he immediately came in and said, hey, Mike, I want to let you know how we're going to do this. We're going to bring in two crews. We're going to bumper guard everything. We're going to raise everything. We're going to use non-toxic chemicals. And I want to measure things with a laser. So we're going to get very accurate on what you're pricing. And this is how we price. And we're going to give you a discount because you're in B&I. And I said, whoa, stop. He goes, what's the matter? I go, I don't care. What do you mean you don't care? I go, I don't care. He goes, well, what do you care about? I go, when can you start? And it all could have been avoided simply by asking, what's the most important thing you want to know about me and my business and how I can help you? Just kind of a little 1-2 to avoid that I'm going to beat them on price.
You know what? That your example sums up my experience so often, because I'm very much the person, I've done my research, I chose you, especially in B&I, it makes it very, very easy. I want you here. You know, unless this carpet cleaning is going to be $5,000, which my house does not have that much carpet in it, then we're good. Then take care of it. And I love how you break that down. Okay, so because of time, I want to guide to one more area, and it's your prescription without diagnosis. Yeah. I think this kind of ties into the rejection that we deal with and things on those lines. So dig a little more into that. And I think that kind of goes right in line with what we're talking about in general here.
I think part of it is having a defined sales process. And to me, a defined sales process is to diagnose, ask the questions that discover, is this the most important problem they're trying to solve right now? Are they serious about getting this problem solved? You know, what other things have they tried in the past? These are typical type of questions that would be part of a diagnosis. When I go into a doctor, the first thing I do not want him to say is, okay, take this prescription, take this needle, and we're going to give you this. They're like, how about my blood pressure, a blood test, a temperature, you know, and this is what I see many people that are not comfortable in sales doing. It's the approach of, Brandon, you know what you need? You need what I have.
Exactly.
And it's like, have you even explored if I have that being taken care of by somebody else right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to put one other question in there. Whether you're generating a referral for somebody else or you're converting a sale for yourself, I think a great thing, even when you've diagnosed that there's a problem, I love this question. Do you have somebody that can support you with that?
Ooh, yeah.
Do you currently have somebody to support you? So even if I'm recommending you, Brandon, that's a sales process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if I say, you need to talk to Brandon, I might be stepping on the sale. But if I say, do you have an expert in this area that could support you and take care of that problem, one of two things are going to happen. They're going to say, no. May I make a personal recommendation? Okay. Would you be interested in seeing how I might be able to help you? Whatever that next step is. Okay. Or they say, yes, I already have somebody. And I still look at that as an opportunity. I said, well, if you ever need a number two person, if you ever need someone else, a number two person, I think I have somebody that could help you.
I like the, well, if you ever have a challenge with them, I have somebody that could give you a second opinion too. Because then it kind of opens up their brain of, you know, I did have a couple challenges this last month and I might want to talk to them. And I like that because it's a softer way. And that is a great way to generate referrals too. Because you're making sure that they need the product or service. You're asking if it's okay. And then when you make that referral, chances are you're making the referral because the person you're talking to said, you know, have them connect with me, or I would like to connect with them. And that's how I like to get referrals myself.
Yeah. And I think that's so important. And when you're using relationship marketing and relationship selling, you know, it's not to alienate your friends and family plan. Right? And if we are honoring that somebody else has relationships, okay, it's going to be a lot more effective for us to make recommendations, because we say we honor the fact that you have relationships and we want you to maintain them. But if you need an alternative, I may know someone or I may be an alternative.
I think you and I could do hour-long podcasts. So I'm going to cut it here. Are there any final thoughts that you have on this topic you'd like to throw out there?
I think if you do exactly what you've been talking about, what we've been talking about in terms of diagnosing the problem, it becomes a lot easier to remove yourself from the outcome, meaning removing yourself from the rejection. In the diagnosis, we discovered that they're not a qualified prospect or we're not the proper solution. But we've diagnosed that, so it's not about me. Okay, when it's all about me trying to convince somebody, when they reject me, yeah, it is about me because I was playing the game of I need to convince them. I need to manipulate somehow them saying yes. And when you're truly serving them, and that's what sales means in Latin, if you're truly serving them, you're going to do a diagnosis that's going to serve up the best solution.
Excellent. And I do want to promote, before I close it out here, your guys' YouTube page is BNI Education Videos. Is that correct?
Yes, BNI-educationalvideos.com.
Mike and his wife, Dawn, they put out these videos on there. Like I said, that's kind of what sparked this podcast. Please go check them out, follow them, and they put a lot of great education out there. I have seen very inspiring breakouts at BNI conferences from Mike, and so that's how I knew this would be a fantastic opportunity to have him on. And I'll say from my perspective, you did not disappoint, Mike.
Thank you, Brandon. It's very exciting working with you, I'll tell you that much.
Thank you. And for our listeners, these podcasts are for you. If there's ever a topic you would like us to cover, please email us at podcast@bniheartland.com, and we will do our best to cover that in the future. Mike, thank you again for your time. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
And for everybody else, I look forward to talking to you on a future podcast.
Thank you for listening to the official BNI Heartland podcast. For more, follow us on Facebook or go to www.bniheartland.com.